Self-lovers, welcome back to the Self-Love Show. Hi, I'm your co-host, Dawn Light, and this is my beautiful co-host with me, Trish Wright, this way. And we have an amazing guest today. I'm about to introduce her and read her beautiful bio. But I just want to inform you, in case you're new to the Self-Love Show, we are so grateful you're here with us. And we are everywhere. We're on Spotify. We're on Apple. Like, you can search us out for podcasts. We're everywhere. And we're on YouTube. So I encourage you to go like, share, subscribe, share with your friends. Like, this is how we get and broadcast the message of self-love far and wide. And so we're here for you to love you up. And so today we have an amazing guest. She's one of my dearest sisters. I'm so grateful you're here with us, Kristen. And so we have Kristen Urbanus with us today. And so I'm going to read her beautiful bio. So Kristen is a highly experienced emotional healing coach, spiritual psychology and somatic touch practitioner, and mindfulness educator with 20 plus years of study in the field of psychology, yoga, coaching, and education, which aid her in bringing best practices and methodologies from various fields to her clients and colleagues. Through a direct yet gentle approach, she provides her clients and students with cutting-edge self-discovery and emotional healing practices that assist in individuals by empowering them with the experiential tools and guidance to grow in self-awareness, self-responsibility, heal emotional patterns, and experience greater freedom. Yes, Kristen works with people multidimensionally in consciousness, transforming at the root level and uplifting patterns in their consciousness, resulting in freedom from limiting patterns or beliefs and intergenerational healing, increased central nervous system regulation, greater empowerment and self-confidence, the ability to cultivate supportive beliefs and habits, more meaningful relationships, and a greater ability to use their gifts and talents to make a positive impact in the world. She says, "My clients consistently report coming to greater levels of empowerment, resilience, peace, fulfillment, and happiness as a result of our work together." Thank you, Kristen. That was so beautiful.
Welcome. Thank you for having me.
We're so honored. And so for those of you who don't know, since Kristen's never been on the show, like, Kristen and I have shared in this beautiful experience of USM together. So we weren't actually classmates, but we have the joy and the pleasure to assist together. And so we've been getting to know each other very deeply and supporting the USM energy field. And we both have this rich study and background in spiritual psychology that we share in. So we share the same language.
Yes. Yes, we do. Yeah. And for those of you who don't know, USM stands for the University of Santa Monica, where we both have studied and now practice spiritual psychology and bringing that into the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm. So we talked a little bit in the background. I just want to jump in because I think that your juice is so juicy. We talked about how there's this idea. Well, I'm going to ask a bunch of questions and we can wrap it all into a good, you know, I'm in a mood today, apparently. For all of you who are listening, I'm fiddling with my hands and making butterfly like fingers and jazz fingers. And so we were talking in the background about how, like, why we do self-empowerment work and what that looks like. What is the, like, when do we know how to do self-empowerment work? And then as we were just chatting and pinging things around in the background, we were talking about the technology of healing and how a lot of coaches or a lot of people or even therapists is like, it's miraculous. And And I think that you were just getting into a bit about what is really going on. And I think that's an incredibly powerful knowing, like to know what's actually going on is part of the empowerment. I don't know about anybody else, but when I'm stuck in a, like in a personal lesson and I don't know what's going on, or I don't know the intelligence or the tool to work with, I'm always like super disempowered. I'm like, what the gosh. And when I have the understanding of my own inner workings, or maybe the intelligence around what to do next, then I always feel empowered to take the next step. It's a part of the action step for me. So I'm curious what you think, what you both think.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like that's such a huge piece, because I hear a lot of people talk about that. I've heard healers say, I've heard therapists say, and just people in general, like healing is esoteric, or it's like something mysterious, or people who are just starting on the journey, or maybe they've done therapy or some types of healing modalities, but it's like there's still more. They might know something on one level, but they're still coming up against patterns in their own consciousness, or maybe they're coming up against the same roadblocks in their outer world experience. And they're like, why can't I move forward? And what I really want to impart to people is there's a reason, there's an intelligence, there's a technology behind healing, and there's a reason why things are happening in your experience. There's a reason why you're having the same experiences over and over again, whether that be an inner experience or something outward, a relationship block or whatever it is that you keep encountering. There are reasons for why that's happening in your consciousness. And when we have the not only context of like, why do I continue to have these experiences, when we paint a broader picture of the context for why that's happening, and then also when we kind of come in with the right tools that are powerful, effective for each person, then that can be a very empowering experience. It's like, oh, I'm having this experience continually, say, for example, a pattern of feeling disempowered or undervalued in a relationship or whatever it may be, but at least now I have a context for why it's happening and I know how to work with it. And I feel like that's foundational, ground level work that just can flip the whole picture for people, going from feeling disempowered, why does this happen to me, to like, oh wow, yes, this may still be challenging, but at least I have a context for why it's happening and I know how to work with it in my consciousness. Mm-hmm. And I can kind of like metaphorically liken it to, we could say that, you know, the internet is mysterious. And if my internet goes out, it's like some mysterious thing that just happened. We know that's not true. We just need the expert to show us what happened. How do I get it back online? Or we can look at like the stock market and say, oh, that's all very mysterious. But we know that's not true, because there are experts who do understand it. And so that's kind of what I'm suggesting is, no, there are reasons why we continue to have these experiences. There are effective, tangible tools that can work on every single level of your consciousness so that you can become more empowered and have a different experience.
I love that you brought in the internet piece, because I'm dating someone who is, who's in internet security. And I was like, oh gosh, he would be like, no, like this is how it works. And this is and it doesn't have to be your expertise, right? You know, like right. This is why you have therapists and coaches or an IT provider or, you know, tech support or whatever, so that you
a doctor. Get the support. Yeah.
What? Yep.
I said a doctor, you know, anyone that you might need, right? Like, yeah.
Yeah. So I just love this idea of debunking, like, no, there's a healing and there's intelligence to why everything is happening.
Mm-hmm. And it's just that big shift in consciousness to approach it from a perspective, like a shift in your awareness, to approach it from a place of why is this happening? And instead lean into like, oh, this is for me, for my awakening, right? And that, just that slight shift in awareness can open a whole doorway of like, oh, I never looked at it that way. And gosh, what if I leaned in inside of myself and embraced this? And that's like really initiating the first law of spirit, which is acceptance, right? And so leaning in within, that just opens the doorway to accepting what is in your consciousness, what patterns you're working with that are creating that outer perspective, maybe roadblock or relationship challenge or work challenge or whatever the challenge may be. Right?
Yes. Yes. I'm shaking my head. Yes. Because that first law of spirit, which is acceptance, and whether or not you believe in spirit or not, it doesn't matter. What acceptance offers is, instead of resisting our experiences, we come into a greater place of, it's like it actually creates more ease for us. You know, acceptance isn't resignation. It's just not fighting against what is, not fighting against what's already happened or what is already happening. So it, as you said, Dawn, like it opens a doorway into a whole other world where we can start to work with these things. And I think it's so important to know, as we talk about the technology of healing, is that we're multidimensional in consciousness. And for me, this is foundational because we have an intellect, we have a mental body, right? That most people are very schooled in, especially collectively up until now. We also have an emotional body. You know, a lot of our patterns and just life experience happens through our emotional body. And as our teacher, Mary Holnick, says, karma is stored on the emotional, most karma is stored on the emotional level. And we're just now, just through the pandemic, starting to kind of open up to the modalities that can really assist us in navigating our emotional experience. Then we have a physical body, which holds our patterns, especially in the nervous system, in an energetic body. So when we work on all of those levels, I feel like that's what can be very empowering for people. Oh, I understand something mentally. Why am I still having this experience? Well, because there are other parts of your consciousness where the patterning might be living. And so the opportunity just to work more multidimensionally.
Beautiful.
I see your spirit fingers, Trish.
it really, like, that's like, I hear you, I see you. So thank you for bringing that into, for the people who are listening and don't watch us, it's good to, any of the expressions that we're making, it's good to vocalize those too.
Yeah, I love that.
I love that we're starting to sort of defilter and make it less mysterious.
Yeah.
Because I think that a lot of people get like the mystery is often what's sold. You know, like that's how people like, oh, it's mysterious, I'm gonna buy that. And instead there's an opportunity. I really do believe that there's an opportunity that when you learn something or when you understand it more deeply, that you get to make healthier choices. This is why I became a sex educator, is that, you know, my parents were very, like my mom and my stepdad were incredibly open with me and were very communicative, which gave me a lot of opportunity to make healthier choices for myself.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
And it wasn't just in the sense of whatever everyone else was being taught, but they went above and beyond to have the uncomfortable conversations. And I think that this is one of those pieces, is like, we're used to the word debunk, and that's debunk what is happening. The layers of consciousness and how it lands and sits in someone's body. And just, you know, one of the things in my earlier time, like when I was hitting my deep traumas, one of the things that really upset me is just knowing doesn't change anything. That I actually have to repattern it with practice. Like just knowing that I have this core thing or this like deep wound or this pattern doesn't fucking shift anything. Doesn't shift anything. It just is now I'm conscious of it, which is now where the work really begins.
Right.
So frustrating.
Great awareness.
Great awareness. And I love what you said about I had more education from my parents, so now I'm able to make different choices and relate to it all differently. And yeah, awareness it's like the first step. And then people are often like, well, I'm aware of that. Now what do I do with it? And I think that's where the tools come in, the kind of deeper. Mm-hmm. One of the things that we hear a lot through spiritual psychology is healing is the application of loving to the places inside that hurt. And that is so powerful. I worked with young children for a very long time, teaching mindfulness and social emotional learning. And I learned to not differentiate between my adult. Now I mostly work with adults, but my adult clients and the kids, because I feel that that's really what's happening. Healing, you're taking a higher frequency of love or neutrality or acceptance. Kind of going back to acceptance as the first law of spirit, and you're applying that love to a more contracted place in your consciousness of shame or guilt or whatever the energy is that's holding the pattern in place. And you apply the higher frequency of loving and acceptance to that contracted place, you know, and with tools, obviously, to consciously release it. But that's, I feel really that's where the healing happens, is that meeting of love or a higher frequency to a more contracted place inside.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Beautiful. I can share the same feeling. I mean, I've witnessed it over and over and over again in my own journey of spiritual psychology. And it is true. Healing is the application of loving to the places inside that hurt. And just knowing that is such a profound principle to really live by and apply, because then it gives you the empowerment to know that you have the tool inside, that you have all the inner resources to always handle your circumstances, your situation, your life, that you're never disempowered. Even if you feel disempowered in the moment, you're never truly disempowered. And it's an automatic place to move back into a place of allowing and accepting of what's coming forward for you in your consciousness, in your body, in your life. And then just think deeply, like, gosh, if I was to support myself and just move into a place of loving every part of me, right? Even if it's hurting, right? And where is it hurting? Oh, it's my shoulder. Oh gosh, I'm just going to move the energy over there and apply love. Even if I don't understand what this really is yet, you know, and then it's just opening yourself up to allow a conversation.
Yeah.
Gives yourself the space to explore. Gosh, oh wow. There's a feeling of like, I feel burdened. Huh? Mm-hmm. What is that? And then you can kind of follow it back in time. And it's like this whole conversation that unfolds just by applying one principle. And I'm just describing literally a process I've done with myself and my clients, right? But it's amazing what can come forward. You're astounded at what can come forward just by applying simple tools, practices, principles. And it's amazing because we're not only working with, you know, our consciousness, but we're working with who knows how many lifetimes of material, you know, that are, it's stored in the emotional body. Yes. But it's giving yourself permission to release it, and that you don't have to know every part. And yes, it can shift.
Yes. I just got goosebumps the whole time you were talking about that. Cause it is really, I mean, some of us are more internal processors, or, you know, do the kind of work more processing alone. Some of us are more external processors, want another person or other people. And of course, it's always important to have, you know, support. But I love what you shared about you're never disempowered, because even if you feel disempowered, that's a place inside that feels disempowered. And so identifying it, oh, this is a part of me. It's not all of me. It's a part, or it's a feeling. And yes, I have actually the capacity to apply loving to that space inside. Mm-hmm. That's so powerful.
Yeah, I love, oh, go ahead. I was just going to say, I love everything you're up to and the deeper work you do. And it's beautiful that you even, you have this somatic touch side. So you're really blending like such an amazing experience of not only spiritual psychology principles, tools, practices, you know, and expanding consciousness, because that's really what goes on with spiritual psychology work. Yeah. But it's also, you're really working with regulating the nervous system too, yeah, which is so important to like deep healing, because sometimes our mind and heart can be on board, but there's still trauma held in the body, yes, literally, that can be, you know, really challenging. And especially if you're just not understanding it truly, you know, that, can you speak to that a little bit?
Yeah, I would love to break that down, because I feel like it's you, for me, and I'm offering all of the modalities that I wish I had way back when, you know, it's like, I feel like somatic touch and spiritual psychology are the most powerful modalities on the planet. That has been my experience in the healing arts. And I've done many, many, many types of healing modalities. And to me, these are the most powerful and most effective modalities on the planet. I used to have horrible anxiety, like debilitating anxiety. And I remember saying, I wish I could just take a pill and shift that. You know, I wish I could do something, because I was doing so many things. I was going to therapy and yoga and all the things, right, for years. And it was when I found somatic touch in combination with spiritual psychology, and then of course pairing that at the time with a really loving relationship. So again, healing is the application of loving to the places inside that hurt, because I was in this like super loving relationship, but it was a combination of somatic touch and spiritual psychology that really shifted it for me. I mean, totally, completely turned my experience of life. Just, I can't even put to words the difference in experience that I'm having inside of myself. And so somatic touch really works with the nervous system. As you're sharing, we can do lots of mental, emotional, and spiritual work, but if the nervous system is dysregulated and holding patterns of fear and dysregulation, life is going to be hard. If our nervous system is dysregulated, it doesn't matter how much positive thinking or gratitude or affirmations you do, life will feel hard. And that really sucks. It really sucks when you do all of that work and the nervous system just won't get on board. And so that's it's trash. And so that's where somatic touch comes in. It's like, oh, we can repattern not only our consciousness and our belief system, but also the nervous system. And then all of life changes.
Amazing.
Yeah. And I can speak to the science around that as well, or kind of like what's happening. So in, when we're in utero, there are a kind of autonomically, of course, and this really goes for anything, when we're going through life, especially in childhood, we're deciding what's possible for ourselves, what's possible for ourselves in the world, what kind of world we live in. And that creates the foundation of our belief system that eventually runs autonomically, you know, on its own, so that we can function in the world and live, right? Not have to think about it, just like we learn how to drive and then we do it autonomically. And so in our nervous system, it's the same. So we have primitive reflexes, which are the very foundation of our nervous system. And then we have 70 to 80, I don't even know how many other reflexes that happen in our nervous system that are just happening autonomic, like on autopilot. And so the very first primitive reflex is called fear paralysis. And that's the first reflex to come on board. When we're in utero, if we're experiencing fear, so if, say, for example, I mean, there could be a million reasons why we're in fear. Maybe, I don't know, maybe we just come in that way. Maybe we, you know, maybe our mom is chasing around three other kids, or maybe she's in an abusive relationship. There are a million reasons why we could experience that. then if we're in fear, what will happen is the fear paralysis response will not integrate fully. And of course, that is really the foundation. These primitive reflexes are the foundation of our nervous system. So by the time we're 3 years old, we have a foundation of our nervous system that's either kind of in fear, like the world is a scary place, or here I am, the world is a safe place. And of course, it's not black and white. Things can flow. We can maybe be in fear initially, but then, you know, through relational healing, we can open up and those reflexes can integrate and we can feel more safe and secure in our nervous system. But essentially, if say we have in utero trauma or early childhood trauma or colic or any of those things that are happening really early on, or even just in early childhood, and our nervous system responses and reflexes don't integrate, then that's when we have greater instances of anxiety, all sorts of, you know, challenging experiences that are just difficult to live with. So what the somatic touch work does is it comes in and it works with the kidney adrenals directly in the brainstem, and it allows for the nervous system to create new patterns of greater regulation over time.
Wow.
I know, that's a lot of information.
I love the science in the body and the brain, because I think this is something that sometimes practitioners can miss, right? Mm-hmm. So there's some really heady people out there who want the science behind healing. And that's why they don't maybe come to see a holistic practitioner of some kind, because they want that. They want the technical terms, mm-hmm. and they want the scientific terms, and they want to understand the science behind it. They also want, you know, peer-reviewed articles and all of that. And I think that it's important to know how the nervous system works and how to go from an activated nervous system to a downregulated nervous system, and why it's happening or what could possibly happen. Because it is, you know, we're human beings and we're just patterned, conditioned and based in not only our genetics, but in our, the historical lived experience patterns, our brains, right? It creates neural pathways in our brains. And that's how we, like, that's why just knowing doesn't change anything. It's because there's a neural pathway in your brain that literally needs to be reworked. And I don't know, I just saw a video again about watching the neurology of a new neural pathway being created, and it is so cool. It is so cool. So it's great that you're bringing this piece in. And what I'm gonna just say here is, again, knowing more or learning more is empowering. Learning about your here, I'll share something personal. I'm working through some physical experience, some illness or something in my body, and I don't know. And the unknowing is actually really scary, because I don't know what to do. And I'm sitting here in the discomfort. I'm like, like, what do I do? And so I'm waiting for enough information to come to me to find that, to actually find the empowerment in the knowing, finding the empowerment in the technology of the healing. Like, because I don't know where to go. Like, I'm just at the crossroads of, it could be food, it could be an environmental thing, it could be da, 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 and I'm just waiting, which direction do I go in to take the step towards transformation or take the step towards healing? So empowerment as a form knowing the technology of healing as a form of empowerment.
Yeah. And I want to acknowledge you here too. What you just said is very empowering. You're pausing and waiting for the information. So you're having an empowered stance towards your healing already. And I want to acknowledge you for that. Even though you're in the unknown, and even though it may be scary and it's fearful, mm-hmm. you're choosing to acknowledge what's going on and be okay in the pause of not knowing while you're waiting for the information. And that's still an empowered stance. And I want to acknowledge you for that.
Thank you. You know, now that you say that, it's there's this experience we talked about, maybe disempowering or disempowerment, and how acknowledging that that's an experience that we're having is also an empowering place. It's like, I have discomfort or I have disempowerment here. That's another place that I can, what you call it, apply love. I can love deeper there, or that's the, like the knowing of the disempowerment or the disappointment or whatever the, we'll call it, for a lack of a better term, negative feeling. I don't really believe in negative, positive feelings. I just don't believe those, that kind of right. duality, that description, judgment. But there's these words, it's like, that's underneath the discouragement, the disempowerment, that's where the work is. Like, that's the piece, like right there, like at the precipice of that piece is like, oh, how can I apply love there? Mm-hmm. I call it the radical acceptance of love. How can I?
Ooh, I like that.
That's my definition of love.
I love that. And also, I want to acknowledge you because being in the space of the unknown for a long time, or it's like, I feel like the longer it is, the kind of more difficult it is. And also, and I probably a lot of people experienced this during the pandemic, and I know I certainly did, was the longer the period of the unknown also is such an incredible opportunity for trust and for surrender. And Mary, going back to the University of Santa Monica, Mary Holnick, who's one of the teachers, she frequently asked this question. And I think it is so powerful because, again, it can point to the context of why am I having this experience? What is this about? And the question is, what is my soul attempting to assist me in learning through this experience? And I especially love that question when a person is experiencing a pattern repeatedly over and over and over and over, because it can be so easy to think, oh, I must be doing something wrong if I'm experiencing this again. And so let's release the idea of ever having done anything wrong ever, mm-hmm. ever, ever, ever.
what you are seeing right now is that I'm holding hand hearts up.
And that question of what is my soul attempting to assist me in learning through this experience? I know for me personally, it has been through repeated patterning of loss. It's been to keep my heart open no matter what. And I know through doing that, through consciously choosing, no matter what, I'm going to keep my heart open.
Gorgeous.
That's powerful.
That is powerful.
And I know that that has effectively, and for anyone who's experiencing grief, it's a lot of people right now who are experiencing grief, because we can be grieving our old life or the old, quote unquote, the old way, or a job or whatever change we can, you know, doesn't have to be a death. And it could be, it's like grief has the ability to expand your capacity for loving.
It so does.
Mm-hmm. And I will just share on a personal note, when I, kind of a piece of my story, or I don't know if I would call it a story, but when I was living in Spain and I, this is on my website, you can read about it. I lost my boyfriend. He had epilepsy and he had a heart attack and he died. And I was really young. I was 23 and it took me a long time to get into another relationship, and I didn't have any tools. I had no therapy. I had no meditation. I mean, it was through the experience of healing from that, that I kind of was able to completely transform my own experience of life. But I remember when I met my former partner, I remember having this experience of like, oh my God, we were both soulmates, Orlando, who was my partner who died in Spain, and Kevin, who was my former partner. We were both soulmates. But like my love with Kevin, it was greater. It wasn't because the soulmate connection was different. It was because my capacity for loving had expanded greatly. And so my experience of the relationship was incredibly expanded because my consciousness was expanded. And that just gave me so much, just that in itself is so empowering. So for anyone who's grieving or has that, you know, experience, there are so many gifts as well.
Thank you for bringing that forward.
Yeah.
It's so true. You know, I think the pandemic really moved us all into radical new places and shifts. And it really gave us all a big opportunity to clean up a lot of old patterning and whatever that was for that person in their life. Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've had so many conversations over the last 2 years around big internal and external shifts and people's lives, and grief can be a huge part of it. And I even have experienced my own like massive amount of grief around grieving what was, and, you know, the loss of a parent. And even though, you know, I knew that was going to come, it's still, you know, grief can linger, and it's like how we hold it in our consciousness and allow it to be and honor it as a process and honor it for what it is was really helpful for me in that time. And, you know, working with clients that have grief, like I really, you know, teach them to like hold it, that it's okay. You don't have to push against it or push it away or make it wrong or bad, that it's welcome it like an old friend, welcome it like a lover, get to know it, allow it. It's a teacher. It's got a message for you. There's a reason it's here knocking on the door, you know, and it's so empowering when you have that ability to just shift gears into allowing it. Like, it's okay. This sucks. I accept that it sucks right now and it's okay. And that can just make such a huge difference in just how you're holding it and can give you more leverage for feeling a little more empowered, even in the sadness or the sorrow or the upset, you know, and really learning to explore what upsets you and give you an understanding of how to break free in that and cleanse your lens of perception around how you hold it all. It gives you freedom.
Yes. Freedom, empowerment. I love when you said, that time of the pandemic gave us an opportunity, you know, to cleanse and clear out old patterning. And on the other side of that, and I love what you shared about, yes, this sucks, and I'm going to allow it to suck. And then of course, on the other side of it, when we do finally clear, it's so liberating.
Mm-hmm. It's so liberating when you finally correct, like when you really on a soul line know you complete something that has been immensely effing challenging. I'm not going to curse, but it like I can speak to this piece. Like for me, it took me 45 years of my life to clear a rejection pattern that I had in my consciousness with my father. And thank the heavens for Ron and Mary Holnick and their masterful program, because it gave me leverage points that I tried every modality, just like you, Kristen, and just like you, Trish, like every modality to heal myself. Like I had been a avid reader and studier and programs and you name it. Like I have a long list that I never even mention of things I've tried.
Right.
And it was just, I see it as if I had a little hammer and a chisel and I was like, ting, ting, ting. I'm just going to go over here. I'm going to be like, ting, 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 ting. And okay, I'm going to try over here. Ting, ting, ting. And I just diligently, even if it never seemed on the outward perspective that I was working on it, I was always working on it.
Yeah.
And finally, the tipping point was just getting in and learning all the deep tools. And it changed my world outwardly and inwardly. Hi, Tanya. it really shifted gears for my consciousness altogether to just embody a whole new way of being. And it felt like an old coat that I was able to just take off and let go of. And outwardly, everything in my life changed.
Yes.
Like inwardly, everything changed. And in my relationship, everything shifted gears. Like places that I never thought I could heal in my relationship fully shifted gears. And I saw the shift in like every aspect of my life, business relationships, work relationships, my personal relationship with God and myself, like everything changed.
Yeah. I'm so glad you brought that up because I'm completely on the other side of it, but I can really relate to trying every single modality for over a decade. I mean, dedicating my life to working with a chisel. And, you know, Ron Holnick, one of our teachers at the University of Santa Monica, says you can chip away it's like chipping away at a wall with a toothpick, but all of a sudden you get the grain of sand and the whole wall comes down. And that's the completion of a pattern that, say, you've been working in your consciousness for a long period of time. And I really resonate with what you shared, Dawn, of trying every single modality. And for me, the modalities that really shifted it for me were working with the spiritual psychology tools and learning how to work in the spiritual context, because again, we're multidimensional in consciousness. So that brings in the energetic body. And if you believe in, or feel can, would like to feel supported by, and higher energetic frequencies that are available, whatever you want to call it, spirit, the universe, God, divine feminine, divine mother, angels, all of that. Right. And then also for me, it was a somatic touch. And I love what you shared about, it's like when we do shift a pattern, then everything changes, the inner experience changes. And so does the outer experience.
And that's one of the reasons why I'm in a year-long embodied gestalt program.
Oh, gestalt is the best.
This woman is amazing. Like the woman that, like she was a foundational teacher in, it's not open floor, but it is kind of open floor. It was called something else. I'll remember it, but she's magic. Like she's a shamanista or whatever. I'm wondering if you want to go into your tool.
Yes, I would love to. So I'm going to guide us through a process. Hi, everyone. I'm going to guide us through a process. And this this is a process that you'll need pen and paper for. So just make sure you have pen and paper. The process will take us, I'm imagining, about 15 minutes. So just take a moment to grab pen and paper, and then when you're ready, come back to a seat. And what we'll be working with in this process is kind of laying a roadmap. So we've been talking about having a context for healing and for being able to shift patterns in our consciousness. And so the first thing we'll do is lay a roadmap for it. So as you settle in here, I just invite you to find a comfortable position, and you can do anything that that would help you to feel more comfortable. So grabbing a sip of water, whatever that may be. And I'll just invite you to settle in, and you can close your eyelids here. If you'd like to take a big deep breath in, you can lift the palms to the sky, take a stretch, and then exhale, release. And just as you settle in here, I invite you to center inside of yourself, to feel the physical body present. So you might feel your seat in whatever chair that you're in, maybe taking your hands to your heart, and just taking a moment to connect with your breath. So taking a pause on the outer world, just pause anything that's been happening up until now in your experience. And follow your breath. And I invite you just to cultivate an intention for this process. We'll be clarifying your deepest, most heartfelt desire and creating a roadmap around that desire. And so perhaps your intention is to be present. Perhaps your intention is to connect with your deepest heartfelt desire. So just as you have your intention, you can open your eyelids. And the question that we'll first start out with, and you can, as you receive this question, you can notice what comes forward for you. If you could have one thing change in your life that would create the greatest overall impact in the rest of your life, what would that be? So I'll repeat it. If you could have one thing change in your life that would create the greatest overall impact in the rest of your life, what would that be? And so you can start to write down what comes forward for you. You could have one thing shift that would create the greatest impact in your entire life, what would that be? And it might be something outer that comes forward first. You might have something inner come forward, like a sense of peace or the ability to keep your heart open or having loving relationships. So again, I'll share that question one more time. And you can just write down whatever comes forward for you. If you could have one thing shift in your life, in your world, that would create the greatest impact in your life, what would that be? And so as you're writing, you can begin to identify what that one thing would be. And if you have something, you can write it on a separate piece of paper if you've been kind of brainstorming so that it's clean and clear for you. And if you've been writing something external, like say you'd like to have a romantic partnership, I invite you to shift into what's the inner experience that you would like to have. What is the inner experience that you would like to have that would change it all for you? What's the inner experience? So maybe it's, wow, I really want tools to learn how to work with challenges that come forward. I really want to have that like deep self-esteem, or I really want to have that deep self-love or stability. So again, what is the inner experience that it would shift it all for you? And write it down. Okay, so we're going to move on from that. And now on a separate piece of paper, so we'll have kind of your clear piece of paper that has the roadmap, and then you'll have your brainstorming paper. So on your brainstorming paper, I want you to start to think about what is it that gets in the way? What is the resistance that I'm experiencing in my outer world? So we'll start with the outer world first. What is the resistance that I'm experiencing in my outer world that gets in the way of this experience? So I'm going to give an example as you start to write. If I want to attract romantic partnership and I say, wow, the inner experience I need is a real deep sense of self-esteem, the outer resistance might be, there aren't any men that I'm interested in my area, or women or whoever. Or I just don't have time in my schedule. So what are the outer resistances that you're experiencing to having this come to fruition? And just begin to identify the top two or three outer resistances And I can't see where you are in your process, so we're going to move on. Now start to identify, what are the inner resistances? And here's where it can get really juicy. So I'm just using this example again. If I want to attract romantic partnership, and I know that I need a deep, 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 deep sense of self-love or self-esteem, what are the outer resistances? And just start to list them off. It might be like, oh, my inner critic, or I think I might have a belief that that's not possible for me, or I never grew up seeing that as a healthy option, or whatever it is. And I'll use myself as an example. When I was really young, my dad died. And I had this belief because of that, that it wasn't safe, that somehow love would lead to devastation. I didn't discover that till much later. So again, identifying what are your inner resistances and identifying your top two or three. When you're ready, you can transfer that to your clear paper and identify the top two or three outer resistances and the top two or three inner resistances. And maybe Dawn or Trish, you can tell me, are people needing more time? Thumbs up if you need more time.
You're good. Keep going.
Keep going. Okay, great. Okay, so moving on. Now I want you to circle one inner resistance that you'd like to work with. Circle one inner resistance that you'd like to work with. So I'm going to put fear of devastation. That's a big one. And then name the feeling that's associated with it. So fear of devastation, the feeling would be fear. Okay. Now take your brainstorm paper and I want you to give it a voice. So if you could just let the feeling of whatever the inner resistance was that came forward for you, write it out. What would it say if you could give it a voice? And I'm gonna give you a full minute to do that. Okay, and now you can pause that. I want you to close your eyelids. You can take your hands to your heart if you like, and just notice the feeling. You might not have the feeling now, or you might have it in your body. Notice where you feel it in your body. And I invite you to follow that feeling. So it might be fear or sadness or whatever, to constriction, all the way back. It's like you can attach a golden thread to that feeling, following it all the way back until the first time that you can ever remember feeling that way. And if you have a memory come forward, just notice the age. And if you don't have anything come forward, we're still just working with the feeling. So just notice where you feel it in your body and what comes forward for you. And then write that down. Okay. So this last part, I will invite you again to close your eyelids and to invoke, I call it your inner guide, high self, authentic self. Invoke the part of you that you really trust to make big decisions for you. It's like we have a part of us that is unconditionally loving, connected to a higher level of consciousness inside of you. If you're a parent, you might kind of feel the mother in you come forward or the father in you come forward. Invoke the part of you that is connected to an inner knowing, a higher level of consciousness, a greater level of loving, of calm, of stillness. So do your best. If you have a spiritual practice, you can invite in any spiritual beings to be present with you. And then from this place, see that feeling in front of you, or it could be a memory of a younger part in front of you. And just see from this space, what does that feeling or what does that part of you need to feel okay? What does that feeling or what does that part of you need to feel okay? And if you'd like to write it down, you can. And then if you're practiced in this work, you can go ahead and apply. This is applying the loving, applying the acceptance to that part of you that hurts. If this is new to you, then I just invite you to invoke these words to this part of you or this feeling. So notice that it's not all of you, it's a part of you. And I just invite you to say these things. Thank you for showing yourself to me. I'm so glad that you're here and willing to share how you feel. You're not alone. I'm right here with you. You didn't do anything wrong. There's nothing that you could ever do or feel or say or not do that would make me not love you. And just notice what happens with that part of you or the feeling. And we'll just take a moment of silence. All right. So that is our brief walkthrough of self-love tool. And we are complete with that process.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. So loving.
Yeah.
Appreciate you.
How was that for you all?
It's great. Oh, go ahead.
Just a deepening understanding of what's in the way.
Yeah.
You can find that what's in the way is past programmed beliefs.
Yeah.
Or ideas that we created as children.
Yeah.
And just having that acceptance of allowing it to have a voice and giving it space to like actually communicate with you is really such a key piece.
Yeah. It's, you know, the name of the show is the self-love show. And to me, that is the epitome of self-love. Like welcoming and allowing all parts of us, mm-hmm. knowing that all parts have purpose. Mm-hmm. What were you going to say, mm-hmm. Trish?
Oh, I was just really excited to, yes, this is the self-love show. And that, you know, self-love is, you know, it's, there's so much assumption about what self-love is or should be. Like, oh, you have to love yourself first before you can love another person or whatever. And there's like, oh, self-love is selfish and there is this understanding, or I have this understanding after years of doing this show, is that self-love is not only working with the relationship with oneself, but working with the relationships with others, right? It's about authenticity and vulnerability. Mm-hmm. It's about learning how to lean back into the great big hands of, we'll call it the big back support or whatever it is that you believe, whether, but it's about having that faith, right? Yeah. Having the resting in the knowing of oneself and one's desires, being courageous enough to show up in that, whether it's in relationship or whether that's in relationship with me or how I interact with my being or the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thank you so much. So tell us a little bit about what's going on in your world.
Well, thank you for sharing and thank you for allowing me to guide you through that process. And one thing that I think is so important to acknowledge is, in somatic touch, they would say healing happens in the right brain. So the intellect happens in the left brain and then healing happens in the right brain. Now, I don't have the science behind that, but I do think there's something to that because when we're in our intellect, yes, we can understand things, but really that's the mental level. That's not where the healing happens. The healing happens when we shift into the other levels and layers. So, what am I up to? Oh, beautiful. Thanks, Zachar. I don't know if I pronounced that correctly. What am I up to in my world, personally, professionally? Which or both?
What would you like to share with our audience? How do we find you? Like,
oh, okay. What's
in your world?
Yes. Well, you can go to my website, kristinurbanus.com, K-R-I-S-T-I-N, Urbanus, U-R-B-A-N-U-S. I am working with people one-to-one. I work with people virtually. I work with people in person. And I also lead a women's group. So anyone that meets twice a month. So anyone who is interested in that, it's a 75 to 90 minutes twice a month. And again, you can reach out via my website. And I think that's it in terms of fun. I'll be seeing you in Santa Rosa soon. Yeah. Oh, Don, you're muted.
I was just saying, for our viewers and our listeners, you can find Kristin at kristinurbanus.com. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for being on the show and like your love and your presence and just all your beautiful gifts in the world is so needed. And I just love the pairing of spiritual psychology and somatic touch. I think you have a magic combining forces there that really can impact someone's world in a very powerful, healing way. And I'm very excited for your clients and those you work with. And it's such a gift. I think that you've cracked the code in your own life and your own healing. And so it's beautiful to see you just radiate that light and want to share so deeply and have the tools. And I'm just so proud of you.
Thank you. And thank you both so much for creating this space for people during the pandemic and then continuing this space so that people can have a place every week, the consistency, the reliability of showing up for people in that way and highlighting practitioners. It's really incredible. And Dawn, I know all about the work you do. And Trish, I'm excited to learn more about the work that you do because that is really important as well.
Yeah. Well, now is not the time for that, but my practice is shifting and I know that I've been slowing down on social media because I have some big, big stuff like bursting out soon. Yeah. So we'll see, but I don't want to blow it yet. So, I'm curious, Dawn, would you like to share a little bit about, or here I can share it. If you are a woman who wants to reclaim your inner trust and reclaim trust for the world and your partnerships, Dawn has something she wants to tell you about.
Awesome. Yeah, so we have a beautiful women's group that's available to access. So trust has been my biggest curriculum to work through. It was my quality that I embodied through graduate school. And I find that trust was the foundation of the issues that I have had from my own experience in life around my child abuse journey. And so I opened this platform, and it's a great platform to be supported and have your experience of just, you know, your eyes opened and your awareness to feel safe in a container of held with a group of women that are experiencing, you know, greater levels of opening to greater levels of trust within your being, right? And who doesn't trust is the foundation of all relationships, our relationships with spirit, God, source, whatever you want to call it. So it's just a wonderful group full of amazing women and great tools. There's some wonderful freebies in there. Love to have you. Come join us. Oh, you're muted.
And I'm posting that now.
Thank you.
And, you know, just like every week, I want to really give a shout out to our sponsors, our muses, and the people who are running us out on so many different pages. We've got thank you to John and Summer Raymer at the Sign Network for running us out over a bunch of different pages, and really being a big support of our work, Global Peace Tribe, and Scott Katamas for his just enduring love and capacity to be with us and to be a muse and to be patient and loving. Thank you also to KPFZ for running us out every Wednesday morning in Lakeport and Mendocino counties. And you know, you can find us on YouTube, Spotify, you can find us all over the places if you want that. And thank you so much for showing up, Kristen. And thank you, Dawn, for your epic love.
Aww. Yeah.
See you all next week.
Have a wonderful week, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.